The MMA on the Rocks podcast is intended for adult audiences and does contain some explicit content. So if you are not an adult, please make sure your parents do not know you are listening to this and do not repeat anything you hear on this show in front of them. Also a reminder that even if you fight recklessly, please remember to drink responsibly. Now that we have that out of the way, let's get to the show. Welcome to MMA on the Rocks. My name is Bill Welker. You are listening to episode 246, or you're joining us live on Facebook and YouTube. If you want to catch the show live, make sure you subscribe to YouTube or Facebook, turn on your notifications, and you'll know whenever we're going live, like right now. Today's Sunday, June 20th, Father's Day. So a happy Father's Day to all the dads out there who take it on the chin the rest of the year to enjoy one beer in peace and quiet one day out of the year. happy Father's Day to all the dads out there doing the right thing. I always have to specify that on both Father's Day and Mother's Day. Being a parent is a privilege, and being celebrated as a parent is an honor. So that's something you have to earn. All right. Before we get into any MMA action, and very little of it indeed, because I didn't watch a whole lot this weekend, in full disclosure, and neither did my trusty co-pilot all the way from New Jersey with a fresh haircut, Jeff the Animal Wilson. Jeff, how you feeling on this Sunday evening? And by the way, happy Father's Day, just in case.
Thanks, Bill. The jury's still out on that one. You know, there might be a kid, a half Korean kid, running around in Fort Lee, New Jersey. We don't know for sure. There are some theories. But Bill, happy Father's Day to you. And Bill, a happy first Father's Day to our boy, Dave, the Portuguese man of war, Bernardino. Congratulations on baby Emily. And Bill, we just finished saying goodnight to Ariana, which kind of reminds me of that scene from Cheers when Carla's on the phone with her kid, and the whole bar starts singing into the phone. and then she's like, she fell asleep. And the whole bar's like, yeah. Into the phone. Oh, man.
I love how you have a Cheers reference.
Bill, I lost you. Bill, if you can hear me, I need you to log back on and give me a damage report here, Bill. Bill, we got that air, and I'm not good at this by myself. All right, well, while we're waiting for Bill to reboot or whatever is going on, let me talk about what I got for my dad on Father's Day. And so some of you guys might know this, some of you might not, but I am a person of faith. You know, I go to church and stuff, and my church does a lot of missionary work. So the church has been working on building a church in Guatemala. It's going to be done in the fall, around September. So my sister and I decided that a good gift for my dad would be an airplane ticket to Guatemala to go see the inauguration of this church. So Bill, that was my Father's Day gift to my dad. It was a flight to Guatemala.
But Bill, and an awesome gift it is. Sorry, I cut out and lost internet for a second there.
Yeah, no worries, Bill. I was just talking about how my church does missionary work. So they're finishing a church in Guatemala. And my dad, I know he's really excited. He wants to see it. He's been a big part of helping in that. So I figured it'll get him out of my hair for 2 weeks. Let's get him a flight to Guatemala.
Nice. Especially because flights are expensive right now, man. So that's a very thoughtful gift. And While we're on the sentiment, a very happy Father's Day to my dad and to Mr. Animal Wilson as well. You know, couple of dads out there doing the right thing. I can't tell you what I got my dad because it hasn't gotten to him yet. So in case he watches this, I can't spoil it. But, you know, everything's behind. You know, the gas prices are high for the airlines too, so everything's delayed with postal services and everything like that. So here's what I did this weekend, Jeff, while I was not watching UFC. I did watch the main card of, let's see, what was this? UFC on ESPN 25. I did watch the entire main card this morning, but I didn't watch it last night. Decided to take the little one to Disney. Most of you know we have Disney World annual passes, so we only live like an hour and 20 minutes away, so you know, sometimes we'll shoot over there. And that's what I wanted to do for Father's Day because, you know, Ariana is 3.5 and, you know, she's really excited about Disney World. She's at the point where she knows, like, the rides at certain parks. Like, we'll go to a park and she's like, I want to go on this ride, and this ride. So that's what I like doing. That's what I wanted to spend Father's Day weekend doing, is, you know, giving her some really cool memories and having a good time at Disney World, you know, before it gets too hot. We don't plan on going probably anymore until the fall. You know, even though we have the passes and everything, it's too brutal in the summer. It was borderline too hot this time. And I went full dad mode, Jeff. I got like one of those hats with the brim all the way around. It was one of those things, like if you go to a hat shop and you say to the owner, like, I want a hat that will tell people I'm a dad even if there's no kids around me. And they're like, no problem. We know exactly what you mean. Here you go, sir. But because, you know, I'm getting to that age and I'm very fair skinned and skin cancer runs in my family. I'm very susceptible to it. So I got to keep the sun off of my face and off of my neck in combination with covering myself in sunscreen, like SPF 3000 or whatever the highest is that they make. It's basically like white paint, Jeff. It's just with UV protection. I think I'm still covered in it and I've showered several times, but I started noticing the behavior of other people who wear these kinds of hats, Jeff, and I'm worried for my future. Because, like, I was online to get Ariana an ice cream. She likes the Mickey Mouse ice cream bars. And I saw this guy run up, and he had one of these hats with the brim was a little bigger than mine. So he was, like, you know, a level up from me. And he runs up to his wife, who was in front of me online, and he's like, hey, they got frozen bananas? I was like, oh, damn it. Is this my future? Is this going to be me? And then I see, like, the next day, I see another guy walk by me with one of these larger brimmed hats, and he's like, oh, I really got to stay hydrated. And I'm like, I don't know if it's wearing the hat that makes them talk like this, and that's going to happen to me too, because I was very hesitant to start wearing a hat like this, Jeff, just because of, like, you know, it's not my thing. I don't like wearing hats. I don't like having something on my head. It's another thing to worry about. And then, you know, having it, like, just like covering so much, it was uncomfortable for me. It's not like something that looks good on me. I have like a narrow head, so like hats don't fit me right. And I'm like, I'm just worried I'm going to turn into one of these guys, Jeff. I'm going to turn into one of these dorky dads that's excited about frozen bananas and just saying out loud, I need to stay hydrated. Like, if I'm thirsty, I drink water. I don't need to say things like, oh, I got to stay hydrated. And I'm going to start sounding like this, I feel like. So, I don't know. Maybe it's just my mind wandering without alcohol for the past 21 days.
Yeah, Bill. I was gonna. I didn't want to say anything, Bill, but notice some irrational behavior coming out of you. You're having dinner at 3 o'clock, Bill. I mean, I think we need to hook you up to an IV full of bourbon.
Yeah, yeah. Soon. I'm gonna break the streak tonight, Jeff. I'm gonna have myself a scotch after we do the show, just to celebrate fatherhood and have a scotch and a cigar. But I made that stipulation at the beginning of the month. I said, you know, on Father's Day, I'm going to have a drink just to celebrate, and then I'll get through the rest of the month. I have to say the biggest test is behind me because we went to Epcot yesterday, Jeff. And I think you're aware at Epcot, basically, it's the most adult-friendly of the four Disney parks in Orlando because, you know, they have the international showcase where they have every, you know, they have a bunch of different countries, and each country has their own cuisine and, you know, of course, souvenirs. A few of them have rides. But the booze, you know, you get different kinds of booze in each, like in Mexico, they have all different kinds of margaritas. In Norway and Germany, they have like really good beers. In Italy, they have like wine and Prosecco. And France, they have, you know, wine and frozen wine and all this kind of stuff. In England, they have beer, you know, so on and so forth. But, you know, the wife and I like to booze. So usually when we go to Epcot, we make sure, you know, we use public transportation to get there. We stay at a hotel and, you know, we booze it up as we walk around the park. But this time, yeah, we may even bring in a little bit extra with us just in case, because those drinks get expensive. But not this time, Jeff. I stayed strong. I showed a lot of willpower, I think, getting through Epcot without a drink. You know, there's a lot of temptation, but, you know, it was like being a sex addict in a whorehouse and you're just visiting and saying hello to the young ladies and not touching them.
Yeah, man, it sounded like Mission Impossible, Bill, but you know, you got through it. Hopefully tonight helps take the edge off a little bit.
Yeah, I, you know me, Jeff, I'm the kind of person, like, if I put my mind to doing something, you know, I'll follow through on it. If I say I'm not drinking for 30 days, except, you know, one drink on Father's Day, I won't drink for 30 days and I'll have one drink on Father's Day. And Mark Fellows is in the big hat gang, wears a $2 Panama hat without shame. Prevent cancer at any cost. I agree, man. You know, I am at the age where I'm starting, like, you know, I look at my skin and I'm like, was that there before? Is this discolored? You know, just the things that you're concerned about as you get older. But yeah, made it through Epcot. I feel like I have a lot of knowledge about Disney, and I thought about doing like a sub YouTube channel, Jeff. That's like, it's like Disney tips, but like real ones, because I'm not going to lie. And this is like a guilty pleasure, because you wouldn't think a guy like me would be into Disney, and I'm not, you know, I could take it or leave it, but because my daughter's so into it, you know, I love going now because she gets so excited and the rides and everything, but I'm also all about efficiency. So I'll watch YouTube videos about, you know, do's and don'ts at Disney and, like, you know, shortcuts and, you know, little tips to, you know, you know, when's the best time to get on certain rides, because I like things to be efficient. But I feel like every one of these channels like kisses Disney's ass. And I feel like somebody needs to tell the real story of what it's like spending a day at Disney and how to survive with a toddler and, you know, where the best booze are and who are the worst kinds of people at theme parks. Because I can go on rants, Jeff, about the horrible people you see at theme parks. It's just like you run into like the worst kinds of human beings, like that are barely human beings at all. And I feel like, you know, somebody needs to be telling the truth out there, because it's not out there. You know, every Disney tip video I've ever seen, even if they're saying something negative, like, oh, you know, these cookies weren't that great, but the sprinkles were so colorful that it was worth it for the, you know, I'm just making that up, but you know what I'm saying? They're like afraid to say anything bad. And I don't blame them, because Disney's probably watching and listening, probably listening to this right now. They're probably in the process of revoking my annual pass, but it's too hot to go in the summer anyway. But I don't know if you guys think that there's a need for something like that, let me know. You know, put a comment or something, or let me know on social media if you think. I don't know if I should make it like another channel, or you know, make it like a sub channel of MMA on the Rocks where I do like, you know, disclaimer, this video is about Disney, but I feel like I got a lot to say.
Yeah, Bill, I think that's cool. Make like a dad survival guide.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bill, you know, me personally, I like to do things in an orderly fashion. Mm-hmm. I like to get things done quickly and with as few hiccups as possible, mostly because I like to be home all the time.
Yeah.
So if I can do things in a way that's efficient and is the best time-saving way to do it,
mm-hmm.
so that I can be home for longer, I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like there are a lot of dads like me who like to bring their kids to theme parks but hate being around people. So I know like how to get from A to B, you know, with the fewest crowds. I know where like the cleanest bathrooms are. They're a little bit hidden, so they're not like packed with piss all over the floor and everything. Like, I feel like these are the things people need to know. It's not like all the fluff that's out there on some of these other channels. Like, people need to know the real shit. Where are the best booze? Where are the least crowded bathrooms? How do you get on the rides without getting frustrated with all these humanoids that go to Disney World? And those are the things you have to know. Like, I'm there and I'm like, all right, I know we have to get on the Frozen ride because, you know, the little one loves Frozen. We got to do Donald Duck. We got to see some characters. It's going to start raining at 3:00. And then we got to get all this done. And then we can get air conditioning breaks here, 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 and here. And then we're out of here. We're on the road. Like, you know, we'll hit this ride on the way out. And then we're in the car and we're working towards home. You know, this is where we're going to get food, you know, stuff like that. And it's harder for people because most people don't live so close. Like, they're coming and they're planning an entire vacation. So they need to know like how to get the most out of it. But I don't know, little thoughts. But in any case, we did Epcot yesterday and then, you know, we stayed a little late and I was able to drive us back home afterwards because obviously I wasn't consuming any alcohol. As you guys know from the disclaimer at the beginning of the show, I am not an advocate of drinking and driving under any circumstances, you know, especially when you have a toddler. That's why when I do, you know, when I do my drinking at Disney World, I make sure I'm not driving anywhere. We take public transportation. We stay somewhere we could walk to the park or, you know, take a Disney bus, something like that. Even though I'm not getting like hammered while I'm with my kid, but also, you know, shouldn't be driving a vehicle. So I drive back home last night and got home pretty late. And I didn't want to turn on the fights, but I was able to avoid spoilers, Jeff. I didn't turn on social media. I didn't look at anything. You know, I was able to make it till this morning when I watched the main card. And Mark says, what if my wife drives me to drink? Is it okay then?
Bill, he makes a very strong argument there.
I don't know what the laws are like in Australia, Mark. Maybe the roads are a little wider. They compensate for give you a little more wiggle room. But I know you're just joking, of course. I am sure you're safe out there too. Yeah, so I was able to avoid everything. The only thing that threw me off, Jeff, is like you go to ESPN Plus and it's awesome that it breaks it down by fight. But then once you click it, you see the time show up. So if it's like the video is only 10 minutes long, you know, there's a finish and it's like, oh shit, when's the finish going to come? Or if it's like, you know, 18 minutes long, you know, it's going to go to a decision. It's like, oh, is this going to be a boring fight? I know I have to watch it all the way to the end. So what I do is I click to the video and then I cover my eyes and I wait like 35 seconds until I hear Bruce Buffer announcing and the time like disappears from the bottom of the screen and then I watch it. But this main card was great, Jeff, and I know you only caught the main event, so we can start there. And then I'll talk you through the rest of this main card and I'll give you a good handful of fights that you need to go back and watch because this main card was excellent. And I didn't watch the prelims. If there was anything on the prelims that's worth checking out, please let me know. I did look at the results of those already, and there's a few I have in mind, but there's any I absolutely need to see. please tell me. But the main event here, Korean Zombie Chan Sung Jung in a one-sided victory, in my opinion, over Dan Ige. You know, it was a good fight. Like, Ige was never really out of the fight, but he was never really in it, is how I saw it. I guess all the judges gave Ige at least one round. I couldn't tell you which one it was because I could justify giving Korean Zombie all five rounds. I guess there was one in there, you know, where Ige had some top control, but man, it sure didn't seem like it, you know, there was nothing he did in this fight, at least through like the first two rounds, that made me think like, oh, he could really pull this off. I mean, he did land a couple of big shots in the first round. That first round was close, but after that, it was all Korean Zombie. Give me your thoughts, Jeff.
Yeah, Bill. So this fight I did catch today. And man, I could have seen maybe the second or third round going for Ige, one of those two. But dude, this was all Korean Zombie. And you saw everything from Korean Zombie. You saw his grappling, which I think is very underrated. People don't talk about it enough. His striking looked good. You know, he was piecing Dan Ige up on the feet, man. Was working the body really well. There were some nice knees whenever they would clinch up. And, man, Ige, it looked like he had the second or third round definitely for him, I felt like. And maybe a little bit at the end in the last 5 minutes, I didn't give him the fifth round, but I definitely felt like his strategy was definitely working a bit better than it had in the beginning of the fight. But man, you know, Korean Zombie just has too much in the tank, dude. There was this one clinch that I remember perfectly, and Ige went for a Kimura trap, and when he hit the floor, Korean Zombie just stepped over him and took his back. I was like, dude. And when he took, and there was one part of the fight where he had his back and then he had his arm trapped under one of his own legs as well. And man, just, you know, I think it's easy to forget about Korean Zombie sometimes because there was one point in time where he had to take a few years off. He had to serve in the army for his country. But I feel like now, you know, he's starting to get back into the old Korean Zombie that we love. And the strategy was great. You know, it wasn't just him coming forward eating punches. You know, he was changing levels. There were some beautiful takedowns in the early rounds. And yeah, man, just I thought it was a great performance from Zombie.
Yeah, one of the takedowns I really enjoyed, I think it was in the third round, he caught a body kick that Ige threw at him and then just kicked the other leg out from Ige. It was a beautiful, like, just perfect timing on it. He caught the kick and kicked the other leg out like right away, and you know, you could hear the wind coming out of Ige when he hit the ground. It was a great performance, you know, especially coming off of the fight with Brian Ortega where he got outstruck. You know, nobody saw that coming, I think, including Korean Zombie. And you're right. And I hadn't thought about it till you just said it, Jeff, but he looked very patient in there, you know, especially when he got clipped a couple of times by Ige. You know, he felt his power, and Ige is not a big dude for this division. You know, he's probably one of the most natural featherweights there is. You know, that's a guy that should be fighting at 145 pounds. I don't imagine he walks around much bigger than that, you know, as opposed to, you know, guys like Julian Arosa and Sang-woo Choi, who are like 6'1 and 6'2 fighting at 145 pounds. And these guys are huge. You know, they probably look like welterweights, well, outside of fight camp. But I think it was a great performance by Korean Zombie for all the reasons mentioned and more. And a rough one for Ige, man, because, you know, here's a guy who was really climbing the ladder. He was coming off that brutal, you know, quick knockout in his last fight. Knockout win, that is, over, who was that over, Jeff? The guy with all the tattoos. He's fought Billy Q before also.
Hold on, let me double check for you.
I can pull it up too. But yeah, he's coming off of that win. He was like really climbing the rankings. Oh, Gavin Tucker knocked him out in 22 seconds in his last fight. But, you know, positives for Ige. Let me finish with the negatives for Ige. You know, he's getting knocked down quite a bit because, you know, he didn't really show any signs that he was hanging in there with a top guy like Korean Zombie, you know. But positives, the guy is tough as hell. He's never been finished. All of his losses are decision losses. And like I said, he was never really, even though he's never really in the fight, he was never really out of the fight. You know, he's got that kind of power where he could have ended it. You know, if it was the Korean Zombie of old and he was willing to get in a slugfest, fight in a phone booth, so to speak, you know, Ige, you know, might have been able to land a big shot, but that wasn't the case. Any other thoughts on this main event, Jeff?
No, just again, great performance from Korean Zombie. A lot of maturity in that performance. And I think Ige doesn't lose any stock here. You know, he's still in the top 10 rankings, and Korean Zombie's a test for anybody at featherweight, man.
Yeah, for sure. So what do you do with Korean Zombie now? I mean, he's coming off of that loss to Ortega. You know, where do you see him? I mean, he's got to fight a top guy because Ige was knocking on the door of that top five. But, you know, obviously he's not going to fight for the title.
Bill, I'll be honest with you. I would like to see Korean Zombie either fight Cub Swanson, although I think they've already fought each other, or I'd actually like to see Zombie fight against Max Holloway. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, he fought Aldo for the belt, but he's never run into Max Holloway at featherweight. Mm-hmm. I think that'd be a really interesting fight and a very good showcase for both of these guys.
Yeah. That would be a fun one. And Max Holloway just had to pull out of the main event with Yair Rodriguez. And supposedly Giga Chikadze, you know, wanted to step in, but Yair said no. This is just what I'm hearing. I don't have any confirmation of this, but, you know, this is the problem with Yair Rodriguez is like, you know, you have a guy like if Rodriguez had pulled out and Chikadze wanted to step in there, Max Holloway would be like, yeah, let's run it. You know, I have no doubt in my mind about that. But, you know, Yair seems to want to pick and choose opponents and then still, you know, work towards a title shot. And, you know, the whole mess with Jeremy Stephens, we've been over all the reasons why nobody seems to like Yair Rodriguez, even though he's exciting. And, you know, he got his ass whipped by Korean Zombie and then finished him with 1 second left in the fight. So there's that, too. I still want to see Max Holloway and Edson Barboza. That's my dream featherweight fight. I'm going to keep putting that energy out there into the world until I get it. I'm not like one to ask for matchups that often, but I feel like I need to see that. Like there's something visceral inside of me that needs that fight to come together, Jeff. And I feel like I have more hope now that the Yair Rodriguez Holloway fight fell apart because I wasn't that thrilled about that one. But I want to see Holloway and, I want to see Holloway and Barboza, and I want to see it as a title eliminator, you know, but that's that. Anything else on this main event, Jeff, before I talk you through the rest of the main card?
No, let's do it. Let's jump into the rest of this card.
Yeah. And before we do that, before I forget, I want to give a shout out to my buddy, Steve Maraboli, and congratulate him on getting his purple belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu from Gregor Gracie, which is a huge deal. Purple belt is such a huge deal. Cause that means you're in it for the long haul. You know, a lot of people get to blue belt and then they're like, all right, I got my blue belt. I could defend myself in a street fight. Like I'm good, but you get to purple belt and it's like, all right, I'm going to see this through. I'm going to make it to black belt someday. So huge congrats to Steve. Steve is a big time competitor. you know, he's done the worlds and the pans and all that stuff that that I never have time for. So I live vicariously through him. So shout out to Steve, formerly of the MMA and Beyond podcast, which you may be familiar with, the now defunct MMA and Beyond podcast. But yeah, congrats, man. That's a big deal. I didn't want to forget to give that shout out. So the rest of this main card. So the co-main event, not the most exciting fight to the untrained eye, but I'm such a huge fan of Alexei Oleinik because he's so unusual. You know, he just brings a different energy, Jeff. And it's not something that you see all the time, especially because he has unusual grappling. You know, you guys, you have guys who are really great grapplers and they're slick and they're good at certain things, but it's pretty straightforward grappling. You know, it's like they're really good at this takedown or they're really good at this submission or they're good at these five submissions. But, you know, his setups are so strange. It's so unorthodox. He mixes his wrestling up. He drags guys on top of him. It's not even pulling guard. It's like dragging guys down into the depths of hell. And then because of that, he's willing to throw anything on the feet, which is exciting too. You know, he'll throw like these weird overhands from wacky angles and all this stuff. And it catches guys off guard because they're so worried about going into the ground with him. In any case, this fight was pretty straightforward. Oleinik, you know, good pressure, got Sergei Spivak down a few times in the first round, had him in some trouble, and then started to kind of gas out. You know, Olenek's getting up there in years, and Spivak, you know, had good takedown defense in the second and third, picked Oleinik apart, and was able to keep it on the feet for the most part and stay out of trouble. But Oleinik, like, always dangerous, man. Even exhausted in the third round, he's still like throwing hammers from underneath Spivak and you know, with those giant hands of his. You got to remember too, Oleinik used to fight at 185 pounds. A lot of people don't realize that he fought Chael Sonnen like way back in the day before either of them were in the UFC. And it's not like he carries a whole bunch of extra weight now. He just wants to be a heavyweight. But his hands are enormous. I met him in person in Fort Lauderdale, and his hand was bigger than my face. So that was that. Fight of the night. I don't know who got the bonuses, but fight of the night for me, and you guys all need to go back and watch this if you missed this one, Marlon Chito Vera and Davy Grant. Holy shit. This fight had everything you could ever want. It had blood. It had, you know, hematomas. It had great grappling exchanges, awesome scrambles, submission attempts. Davy Grant was in a few positions where a lot of people would have tapped. A lot of people would have given up if they were bleeding as much as he was bleeding and in submissions as deep as he was in them. A lot of people would have called it quits in those spots, but Davy Grant kept fighting. He would come back and he would catch Marlon Vera with a couple of shots and stun him and rock him and almost finish him a couple of times. But then, you know, his face was battered. He was cut up. Awesome unanimous decision win for Marlon Vera. But these are two guys that I love to watch fight. Definitely more of a hurtful loss for Davy Grant since he's a little bit older, you know, especially for these smaller guys, these 135 pounders. He's 35 years old. You know, you could be 35 and be learning how to throw your first punch as a heavyweight and still have a career. But 35 at 135 pounds, no bueno, Jeff. Sang-woo Choi, first round knockout over Julian Arosa. Holy shit, man. This guy has such fast hands. He might have the fastest hands in the featherweight division. And he's got that stiff Korean style to him, that kind of Taekwondo style, you know, where the punches come out like robots, like robot hands, like Rock'em Sock'em robots, but just so fast. And, you know, Arosa, you know, tough dude, man. He's been around a long time. He's a veteran, season 22 of The Ultimate Fighter. Used to fight at lightweight, I believe. I think that season was a lightweight season. Now at featherweight, got in the pocket with Choi, ducked one punch, got out of the way, but then just didn't see the hook coming. So he ducked the straight, slipped it, and then the hook caught him and just put him out cold. And then, but before that, it was like, you know, he stung a Rosa a couple of times. You're like, holy shit, this guy's hands are phenomenal. So that was exciting. Be looking forward to seeing him back in there quick. Another fight that was really good, really back and forth, Bruno Silva and Wellington Turman. So Turman, you know, took Silva down, had his back, had him in some bad spots, submission attempts. And then Silva comes back, takes Turman down, and then knocks him out from inside his guard. Like knocks him out cold, like Tito Ortiz style. And you don't see that too often. You don't see guys who have knockout power from inside the guard, inside the, I think it was an open guard at the time, but still full guard. You know, he hit him and his head bounced off the canvas, and then he hit him again and put him out cold. It was a brutal knockout. And then another brutal knockout, Matt Brown knocked out Diego Lima in the second round. This was like a pretty technical fight. It was Matt Brown stalking the entire time, Diego Lima backing up, very technical Muay Thai, chewing up the lead leg of Matt Brown, but Matt Brown kept coming forward like the Terminator. And then it was just a one punch knockout right on the nose of Diego Lima, and put him out cold. So the 40-year-old Matt Brown, with the huge, second round knockout victory. How do you not love Matt Brown? This guy's been putting on great fights for so long, 40 years old. Personally, I would love to see him call it quits after that. But I said the same thing after he knocked out Diego Sanchez. Like, that would be a perfect swan song, you know, a clean knockout. I don't think there's a title run left in him. And I would just like to see, yeah, he says at the end, not bad for 40 bitches. Oh, and Mark also let us know that Vera and Grant did get the fight in the night. And Matt Brown and Sungwoo Choi got performance of the night. Thank you for that information, Mark. But give me your thoughts, Jeff. What did I convince you that you need to go back and watch?
Oh, man, Bill. I tried to watch Spivak versus Olenek, Bill, and I was a little tired. So I couldn't get through it. But I definitely want to check out Vera versus Grant, man. It just sounds like an absolute war, which is all I ever want to see. Mm-hmm. Definitely want to go check out the knockouts. But the whole main card sounds really awesome. But, dude, that Chito Vera versus Davy Grant fight, man. Davy Grant, we talked about both him and Chito Vera, very tough customers in this bantamweight division. So, Bill, I want to go back and watch these fights, but my question to you is, what do you do with Chito Vera? Because I'll be honest with you, Bill, and this is an unpopular opinion because I doubt it's going to get a lot of attention, but I want to see Chito Vera welcome back TJ Dillashaw into the bantamweight division. I don't think it'll happen, but Bill, what do you think?
Well, isn't TJ Dillashaw already fighting Sandhagen coming up soon?
I think you're right.
And plus, you know, it was a great win for Vera, but he is coming off of that loss to Jose Aldo, where, you know, Aldo kind of dominated him. And this was actually a rematch. He lost to Davy Grant, the first time they fought. I believe it was before, oh no, they were in the UFC. It was back in 2016. I wouldn't mind seeing this one again, Jeff. It was such a great fight. You know, let's just do that. Let's do the rubber match with these guys. It might have to wait a little while, but yeah, that would be good. There's some interesting fights for Vera, man. At 135, you know, Chito Vera and Marlon Moraes would be a fun fight. But you know, I think Moraes is fighting Murad Vavalishvili coming up soon. And that's real soon. So maybe Vera will get the winner of that. That would definitely make sense. And, you know, that would be a step up for him as well, because Moraes is still ranked pretty high, I believe. But yeah, you gotta be happy for Chito, man. He's a guy who's like, seems like he works really hard. Good family, man. You know, one of the few fighters from Ecuador on the roster. So, he just improved so much. And they said the big difference between, you know, these two guys and the last time they fought, which 2016, so 5 years ago, is Davy Grant has only had, you know, a handful of fights, whereas Chito Vera has had like 13 fights, I believe, since that time. So he's grown a lot since then. But yeah, I would recommend, if you're only going to go back and watch one of these fights, definitely the Vera and Grant fight. But yeah, you know, the Sengwoo Choi and Arosa fight was quick, so you could watch that one. The Silva and Turman fight, you know, only lasted one round. And then if you're going to watch the Matt Brown fight, you could skip to the second round and watch it from there. First round, not a lot to see. It was a lot of Matt Brown stalking and Diego Lima, you know, striking technically from a safe distance. But eventually Matt Brown just started lunging in with those big, you know, dude still throws bombs, man, 40 years old. But I would have loved to see him, you know, throw the gloves down and be like, all right, that's it, bitches, I'm out. 40 years old, walk off knockout, you know, right off into the sunset. And that's because, like, I know how my body feels, Jeff, from years of doing this. And, you know, I can't imagine how these guys feel. Granted, I've never been a professional. I've never been able to dedicate, you know, time to training and conditioning and recovery. I always have to pick one of the three. Like, all right, am I going to train today? Am I going to do some conditioning or am I going to do some recovery? But, you know, I know how my body feels at 36. So I can imagine how some of these guys feel over 40. Yeah. And then, you know, the rest of the card, it looks like Virna Jandiroba got a TKO over Kanako Murata, and it looks like an arm injury. So I wonder if, and it looks like it happened in between rounds. I wonder if she had her in like an arm bar and Murata didn't tap, made it to the end of the round, but then realized her arm was broken. I don't know what happened there. And then Ricky Glenn had a 37-second knockout over Joaquin Silva. So I want to go back and watch those two at least. But like I said, if there's anything else, let me know. And then here's something like surprising, Jeff, and it's just a headline I read. I didn't even know that this happened, but apparently Anderson Silva defeated Julio Chavez Jr. in a boxing match over the weekend.
What?
Yeah.
What? Why wasn't this promoted? Dude, I would have watched it.
I probably wouldn't have. I don't think I would.
I'm Anderson Silva through and through, man. So,
but you know, at least this is like finally one of these MMA guys wins a fight in one of these boxing matches. It's like, man, we keep sending over these guys from MMA to get embarrassed. Finally, one of them.
That was one time.
Well, we had Conor McGregor. We had Ben Askren.
But Conor McGregor held his own for like the first 2.5 rounds.
That's true. He did do pretty well. But, you know, but now all these MMA guys want to box. And it's like, stop. Stop.
Yeah.
Well, but Ben Askren. Anderson, like, it's like, all right, now Anderson won one. Now let's have the MMA fighters retire from boxing, like as a group. Like, everybody retires. Nobody's boxing anymore. You know, let's have a few more boxers come over to MMA and see how that goes. It'll be a much more one-sided.
Yeah, this is true. But yeah, Bill, there's like one boxing match I'm excited for. It's who's that dude, the gypsy?
Tyson Fury.
Yeah, Tyson Fury. I think he's fighting the Bronze Bomber. What's his name?
Deontay Wilder.
I believe so, yes. Or was it Anthony Joshua he's fighting?
No.
He's fighting somebody that I want to watch.
He's fighting Deontay Wilder for the third time. So here's what happened with this is the first time they fought, this is why I hate boxing. The first time they fought, Tyson Fury beat the brakes off of Deontay Wilder, but Wilder knocked him out almost cold in the 12th round. And he also won like the second round. So he won two rounds, obviously a 10-8 for almost knocking him out in the 12th round, but they called it a draw. It was bullshit. So they rematched. Tyson Fury beats the brakes out of him, off of him, like TKOs him in the 7th round, something like that. But they had a rematch clause where
Bill, I think you lost internet again. I don't know if it's because of the hurricanes down there. Yep, Bill lost it again. Probably because of the hurricanes. Down there, which if you guys live in the Northeast, it's been sweltering the last like 2 days. Bill, we lost you because of the hurricanes down there.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with this internet, guys. I got to get this sorted out. I don't know if it's the internet or if it's my computer. I just like, I reset my factory, restored my computer, and then it started installing all these updates. I don't know. I'm not a technology guy. So,
all right, Bill. So we're at rematch clause.
Yeah, so Tyson Fury is signed to fight Anthony Joshua, which is the heavyweight fight that people have wanted to see before, but Joshua kept ducking him, didn't want to fight Tyson Fury, and then he fought Ruiz. Ruiz knocked him out, and then it kind of took the wind out of the sails of the Fury-Joshua feud, but we were finally going to get that fight, and then Deontay Wilder's like, hold on a second, I have this rematch clause. I want to fight Tyson Fury again, which I don't know why he would want to do it. He got his ass beat twice. You know, aside from the one big punch he landed in the 12th round of the first fight, you know, there's nothing that shows that he's a better boxer. Of course, he has that like insane power, that just like crazy knockout ability. But as far as boxing skill, like there's nothing to see there. You know, everybody wants to see Fury and Joshua, but like it's just been put off so long and there's just been so much bullshit boxing politics. I won't even care about the fight when it finally does happen. And this has been my frustration with boxing for a while. The corrupt judging, you know, just not making the fights that make the most sense because there's so many different promotions, so many different belts. I can't even keep track of it. I don't even remember what the boxing weight classes are anymore. And I used to love boxing, Jeff. But it's just like, it's just that it's got no credibility as a sport to me anymore. There's not even anywhere you can do it like outside of the Olympics and outside, you know, there's no like boxing team in high school or anything. Like there's no, like it's hard to even find people who box anymore, but anyway, boxing rant over.
So, Bill, is Tyson Fury fighting in the future?
He's fighting Deontay Wilder at some point soon.
Okay.
And they had a press conference and Wilder showed up and just like had headphones on, was sitting there dancing, wouldn't take any questions.
Oh. And is I know Anthony Joshua's British. Is Deontay Wilder British too?
No. He's American, but Tyson Fury is British.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, Tyson Fury, like skill for skill is probably the best. I mean, he's definitely the best heavyweight on the planet. He might be the best ever.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is like, he boxes like a lightweight as a 6'7" or whatever he is heavyweight. Like, the guy's phenomenal. He can fight from both stances. You know, he's got great head movement, great footwork. He's incredible. But, you know, unfortunately, because of the state of boxing, like, I don't care.
Well, Bill, I got some news for you. Some heavyweights that you might care about are going to be putting on a show next week. They are Ciryl Gane and Alexander Volkov. Bill, I'm excited for just that main event. Like, if they didn't have a rest of the card, I'd be perfectly fine with this.
Yeah, this is a good one. And it's interesting because Gon looked really good in his last fight. And, you know, probably a lot of people don't remember it because he just outpointed Jairzinho Rosenstrike. But he was patient. You know, he played the game he needed to play. He's good all around, man. He can kickbox. He's got slick submissions for a heavyweight. But Volkov, man, is so experienced. You know, Volkov has as many losses as Ciryl Gane has fights total. Because Ciryl Gane 8-0, Volkov's 33-8. And, you know, Volkov is, he's very underrated. But at the same time, overrated. Because he gets put in these, like, big fights and in main events. But he doesn't have any, like, career-defining victories. Except for, like, his last couple of fights. You know, he beat Alistair Overeem with a TKO. And, you know, he also knocked out Walt Harris. And he's got the knockout over Verdum. Maybe he is underrated. Yeah, he's beaten Roy Nelson. He was beating the shit out of Derek Lewis until he got knocked out, you know, with 11 seconds left in the last round. Man, I don't know how this one goes. What do you think, Jeff?
Oh, man, it's a tough one to call, dude. Volkov has experience, man. And he's got a who's who on his list. Like you said, beat Stefan Struve, Verdum, Walt Harris, Roy Nelson, Overeem.
Mm-hmm.
Lost a couple of decision to Curtis Blaydes, but I think Blaydes is one of the tougher heavyweights in the division. Former Bellator champion. Former Bellator heavyweight champion, beat Blagoy Ivanov, who is also in the UFC now. So I don't know, man. This is going to be a tough test. Beat Rico Rodriguez, Bill, who we've actually both trained with, good friend of the gym, good friend of Professor Alan Teo. Over at Henzo Gracie Fort Lee. But, dude, name dropping aside, Bill, I don't know, dude. I don't know how this goes for Ciryl Gane. I think it's too soon, man. He's a big fish in a small pond. Just I love Ciryl Gane. I think he's awesome. But I think it's too much to ask to fight Volkov.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, but I thought the same. I thought it was a big ask, you know, getting in there with Rosenstrike. And, you know, look what he did there. I think he only had 4 fights when he got into the UFC. So still very green, but he seems like, you know, he's got a high fight IQ and he's got a lot of tools in his toolbox. And, yeah, speaking of Rico Rodriguez, I still use something that he taught me. Like, I was a white belt and he knew that I wrestled. And I was doing like a guard pass the wrong way. And he's like, hey, man, just put your head, like use your head with some pressure, like you're running a pipe on a single leg. And I did that and I used it to, you know, put a little leverage to move the leg out of the way for the guard pass. And I still use that pass to this day. Like the way he said it to me. And it was like he would just pop in the gym every now and then. It's not like he's a regular coach, but. That was just one of those things that always stuck with me. Like, oh, I just put my head for leverage here while I move the leg out of the way. Like, just like on a running the pipe on a single leg. And he's got that laid back, like California way of speaking that just yeah. Like, I can still hear him saying it in my ear, like as I'm passing dudes' guards and making their lives miserable while I smash their dreams.
Yeah, Bill, you gotta show me that. You definitely gotta show me that guard pass. But yeah, dude, I remember this one move he did where it was like if you were face down in an armbar, you could you grab the guy's leg and kind of like bring him over you, kind of like a helicopter, like a helicopter blade spinning. Mm-hmm. And just the way he explained it, he's like, well, so when you grab the leg, you're gonna open up like a rainbow. And then as he did it, he's like, and my rainbow is going to be big and colorful. And I'm like, it just made sense because like the way you arc your arm to get the leg. And if you're watching the video, I'm trying to do this on screen as best as I can. But yeah, dude, he's as great as he is at jiu-jitsu, I feel like he's really good at explaining things and giving you details. And just explain things in a way that people understand.
Mm-hmm. And specific to them as well. Mm-hmm. Former UFC heavyweight champion talking about big colorful rainbows for how to rip somebody's arm off. It's a beautiful thing, jiu-jitsu. All right, Jeff, I'm going to give you my sleeper pick on this card. I'm torn between two, but here's what I'm going with. Andre Feely and Daniel Pineda. I feel like there's no way this is a bad fight because these are two guys who bring it every single time. Neither one of them is going to want to take a step backwards. You know, Pineda had a long layoff, but then came back, you know, with a vengeance. Looked good. I think Feely's coming off a loss in his last fight, but just a tough dude, man. Do you have a pick, Jeff, or did I catch you off guard here?
Bill, for me, I'm looking at two of them. Actually, I'm looking at three fights that I really like, but if I got to give you just one sleeper fight, I'm going to go with Yancy Medeiros and Demir Hadzovic. Bill, this fight is going to open the prelims, and I don't know why it's not higher on this card. I think both of these guys are really skilled. I'm a fan of Yancy Medeiros. But, yeah, I don't know why the UFC is doing this. Maybe, you know, Medeiros has had a tough run the last couple of fights, but I think you cannot sleep on him. So I think, for me, I'm going to go with Medeiros versus Hadzovic. That's going to be my pick for a sleeper fight. Don't miss that one.
Yeah, that's a great pick. I was eyeballing that one too. I think Medeiros has a few losses, and Hadzovic is coming off of two losses in a row. But yeah, I mean, I'm also wondering what weight this is going to be at. Do you know? Because I guess it's at 55.
Yeah, that's what it's saying for me too. Yeah, it's going to be a lightweight, it looks like.
Okay.
Which I don't know, dude. Medeiros is kind of a big dude. He might be looking a little sucked out for this one.
Yeah, yeah. But he's fought at lightweight, right?
I believe so.
We got a few, at least on Sherdog, which is where I'm looking. Warley Alves and Tim Elliott don't have opponents right now. So I don't know what's going on there, if something's going to be announced. I don't know if you have any other information, Jeff. And then it looks like Ovin St. Preux is moving back up to heavyweight to fight Tanner Boser. That should be an interesting fight. Tanner Boser, I feel like, just fought like last week.
Yeah, that's a quick turnaround for him.
And then Tim Means getting back in there, quick turnaround as well against Nicholas Dalby. So got to respect that too. And then another really good fight that looks good on here, Renato Moicano, who's supposed to be like the next big thing, and then just kind of, you know, flatlined for a little while, but he's getting in there with Jai Herbert. So that should be a really fun fight as well. This is a fun card. Like, I wouldn't sleep on this one.
Yeah. Yeah. And dude, I see Julia Avila versus Julia Stoliarenko. Which Julia Avila, she's an exciting personality, Bill. I follow her on Instagram. She's just entertaining. So I love her for that. One of these fighters who kind of broke out during the pandemic because she got a really big win in like under a minute or something in her debut. But yeah, dude, this whole card, now that I'm looking at it, we have Marcin Prochnio versus Isaac Villanueva. Bill, this whole card, Charles Rosa versus Justin James. Bill, this whole card looks really exciting. And as for Tim Elliott, I'm on the Wikipedia, and it looks like his opponent is named Sue Madurgi. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Looks like maybe a local fighter. I don't know too much about him. He's a Chinese mixed martial artist, but he's of Tibetan descent.
Speaking of Chinese mixed martial artists, Jeff, did you know that Bruce Lee had a vegan brother?
Bill, is this the beginning of a joke?
His name was Brock.
I knew it. I knew. Oh, man, I knew there was something funny.
Brock Lee. Got to throw it in there, Jeff, for Father's Day. Yeah. One more I'll throw at you, Jeff. Kennedy and Njekuku and Danilo Marquez. Njekuku only losses to Paul Craig. Exciting dude. Coming off of a knockout win in his last fight, which was just in March. So he's fought fairly recently as well. This is a fun card.
Yeah, for sure, dude. Definitely not one to miss. I'm just trying to see what the start time is for that.
Oh, yeah, good call.
Because UFC is funny sometimes with their start times.
Yeah, I mean, not much of a comedy show, but.
Yeah. It looks like the main card. So the prelims are going to start at 1 o'clock. This is next Saturday, June 26th. And the main card starts at 4, Bill. We might be able to get out an episode that night if everything goes well.
Nice. All right. That would be ideal. Most things aren't ideal. Anything else you want to get off your chest, kid?
Bill, that's all I got for you this week.
All right. Well, if you guys want to get some MMA on the Rocks merchandise on your chest, you can do so through our friends at Team Reaper. Reaper1.co is the website. I'll put the links directly to our t-shirts, tank tops, and hoodies in the show notes, wherever you are watching or listening. You can use the promo code MMARocks10. Save yourself 10% on your entire order. And you don't have to buy our gear. You can buy some fighter shirts, training gear, sparring gloves, gear bags, jiu-jitsu gis, all that stuff from our friends at Team Reaper. They're taking over the MMA world, signing MMA fighters left and right from the local circuits all the way up to the UFC and Bellator. And that's all we got for this week. If you guys want to get a hold of Jeff, it's at @Animal_Wilson, Twitter and Instagram. And you guys know how to get a hold of me. It's at MMA on the Rocks everywhere on social media. So, Mark Fellows sipping Japanese whiskey just to keep the show on the rocks. I appreciate that. And James Barrett says, "You look weak." Just saying. Well, James, that's because I haven't had a drink in 20 days, and that's the source of my powers. I guess I'm a little depleted now. I guess I am weak. But I'm strong of will, Jeff. Still haven't had a drink, but I'm going to go have one right now to celebrate Father's Day. Maybe a little cigar as well. And that's all we got. So until next time, cheers, everybody. Goodbye.